We do not yet have a quorum, but as soon as we do, I will announce that. We do have a hearing this morning, or this afternoon. Senate File 162, Senator Peterson has the bill, and we want to take this up and hear the testimony. So, Senator Peterson, if you would please join us at the witness table.
Good afternoon, Chair and members.
And just if I could advise the witnesses and Senator to have the microphones as close to you as possible. There are parts of this room where the acoustics are not good, and people will call that to your attention. So just some advice. Go ahead.
We're grateful for the opportunity to be here to talk with you a little bit about this this issue that relates to health, which is why we're here. What this bill does, it would exempt municipal laboratories from the certification requirements and amending a statute that was passed in 2010 by adding this subdivision. My background is I served on the city of St. Cloud as a city council member for several years, and we repeatedly saw regulations and situations that came forward that added costs to how we manage wastewater treatment plants and drinking water and wastewater, and this is one of those issues. It was an adoption of some national standards that was voluntary. There's just 14 states currently that have voluntarily entered into this program, and the state of Minnesota is one. It's added significant costs to any community that operates a wastewater treatment plant and facilitates clean drinking water. It's added significant costs to the operation of those facilities. And so if you're looking for an opportunity to put some local control back into the city councils and to reduce some expenses on the local government level, this is an opportunity to do that. We have some folks here that will offer some specific testimony. When we presented this bill in the House, we had some public utility directors that spoke specifically to that, and we have some of their information included in their packet. But with that, I'll pass the testimony over to Ms. Wafel.
Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourself for the tape and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Elizabeth Wafel, and I am a lobbyist at the firm of Flaherty & Hood. Today I am speaking on behalf of the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities in support of Senate File 162. The Coalition is an organization of 77 cities located throughout Greater Minnesota, united to advocate on issues of common concern. The reason we're here testifying today is that many of our cities operate their own wastewater treatment facilities themselves or jointly with other cities. I'm not sure how familiar you all are with wastewater facilities, but they all operate under what are called NPDES permits that are issued by the MPCA. These permits require them to perform certain testing. This testing allows them to monitor their processes and to make adjustments to ensure that they're meeting their regulatory requirements. In virtually all permits that are issued by the MPCA, there is a line that requires them to be certified by the Department of Health. They perform the testing through an environmental lab, and their permits require that environmental lab be certified by the Department of Health. So wastewater treatment facilities have two choices. They can get certified by the Department of Health, or they can send out their samples to an outside certified laboratory. The Department of Health, sorry?
Just 1 minute, Ms. Wafel. I just wanted to recognize that we do have a quorum. Thank you. Thanks. Go ahead.
The Department of Health has long had a certification process in place. It used to require annual proficiency testing, certification every other year, and a number of other requirements. At some point, the MDH decided to move towards what's called the NELAP accreditation standard, and that's what's mentioned in this bill. That stands for the National Environmental Lab Accreditation Program, which is a voluntary program administered by NELAC. And as the senator mentioned, which is about 14 other states belong to this. In 2009, the legislature made a change to the laws governing environmental labs and required that the MDH use NELAP to certify environmental labs. Now, you'll hear that this NELAP standard is a voluntary standard. We think that doesn't quite paint the complete picture. As mentioned earlier, municipal labs have to be, to operate, they have to be certified under their permits. And as the probably will get mentioned, drinking water labs, also under federal regulations, have to be certified. So if you want to do your own testing, you need the certification process. Our labs don't object to having a certification of some point in place. What they do object to is this higher standard that they find is more expensive, more time-consuming, and more cumbersome to meet. And a lot of our wastewater treatment facilities would like to operate their own labs. It really allows them to be more flexible. You know, they can do a quality test and react much more quickly than they would be able to do if they had to send something out. But these higher accreditation standards has made it really challenging, particularly for the small ones, but for all of them, to operate. Labs small and large have voiced concerns about the NELAP standard. As Senator Peterson mentioned, the written testimony from Mary Fralish from Mankato, who's the director up there, as well as from Scott Gilbertson over in Melrose, are included in your packets, and they provide more detail on this, but I want to highlight just a few of the concerns that our laboratories have. The first concern is the annual accreditation. The sole purpose of these wastewater treatment labs is to comply with their NPDES permit, which must be renewed every 5 years. Even though that permit is renewed every 5 years, the accreditation occurs every year. Before this change, certification had happened every other year. This move to an annual system, not only is it cumbersome for the labs, but it's also more expensive because fees have gone up as a result. The fees for accreditation are also, they've increased and they're too high for many. Again, the increased frequency has led to increased fees, plus the change in regulations has also led to an increase in what are called proficiency tests. These used to happen once a year, now they happen twice a year. And these labs, some of them only have to perform sort of one proficiency tab within that grouping. There's other ones that have to perform six. Each of those can run, you know, $1,500 or more. So there's those added fees. Probably the most significant concern, however, that our labs have with, in addition to the annual fees, is that compliance with the standard requires more paperwork and a lot of busy work that could be spent doing other things. Mary Fralish's statement from Mankato really provides a lot more detail on that, but they're being required to record and report items that just don't apply to them. Because the NELAP standard, it's a one-size standard that municipal labs have to comply with, and large-scale commercial labs that might be testing for 1,500 different things also have to apply for. I mean, this one-size-fits-all makes it really cumbersome for our municipal laboratories. That results in added, you know, at any of the size labs, that can result in added staff size. At your larger labs, it takes them away from doing some of their value-added work, such as improving their processes. At your smaller labs, it makes it challenging for some of them to continue existing, because if they have to continue to spend money on staff just complying with the quality assurance requirements, it gets to a point for some of them where they have to make a decision, do they want to do this anymore or not. They prefer to do it themselves because, as mentioned, an on-site lab just makes it a lot easier for them to get their work done, but the increased requirements with NELAP really make it a tough decision for them. The other thing I would say is that, you know, a number of them have commented they're not really seeing an environmental benefit with the more stringent requirements, and that they don't really see it helping their mission at all. Now, our laboratories are not saying they're opposed to any form of certification. As mentioned, there has been certification in place for quite a while. It's just that the NELAP standard is much more strict and very difficult for them to follow. Alternatives can be created. New Jersey, for example, also uses the NELAP standard, but they have a second tier of accreditation that they do themselves. Other states also have two-tier systems, and something like that, you know, would allow, you know, municipal laboratories to escape some of the more burdensome requirements while still ensuring that they are certified and able to perform the duties that they need to do. We support this SF-162 because we believe that a common sense solution is necessary here, and want to thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Just one question. You may not be the right person to answer, and this is probably not even strictly in the jurisdiction of this committee. I was looking at the fiscal note here, and members, we have a fiscal note that shows no cost to the general fund, but some cost to the state government special revenue fund, and this will be going to some other committees, I believe at least one other, maybe two. But in the fiscal note, it does talk about local government costs. Wondering if you have any comment on that. The fiscal note is pointing out that laboratory certification required to meet Safe Drinking Water Act, and that therefore if this bill were to pass, there would still be a cost to local government to get their drinking water tested. And any comment on that? Ms. Wafel, I'm not sure, again, if this is, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but just if you have any thought on that.
Well, and this is one of the things, and I will admit I'm been dealing more with our cities from their concerns about wastewater treatment, that we are looking at, I think, and we're having a discussion with the Department of Health. It's somewhat confusing on what will happen if the accreditation center is simply repealed, what falls in its place. And so, you know, I think the hope for local governments is that there is still some form of approval process in place that allows them to do that. And so we're still, it's the language of the statute that this is amending, we're still unclear of what would happen there. But, I mean, we don't want to move away from the idea. They have to, under federal regulations, the water facilities do have to be certified. So the hope is that we could move, like I said, to some kind of perhaps a two-tier system or alleviate some of the burdens associated with NELAP so that they continue to get that testing done. Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Other questions for Ms. Wade? Thank you. We'll allow the next testifier to present. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Shauna Johnson, and I am the city administrator for the city of Waite Park. And today I'm here on behalf of the St. Cloud Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility. We handle our wastewater treatment for the area. It's It is cities of six in the area, including St. Cloud, Waite Park, St. Joe, Sauk Rapids, Sartell, and St. Joseph, and St. Augusta. For today, I would like to talk about the challenges that we face with a NELAP certification. We are probably one of the larger facilities within the state of Minnesota, and we are committed to ensuring quality drinking water. We have just invested and are in the process of upgrading our plant. We have a $40 million project that's underway. Some of the costs that are associated with that, our water rates just alone in Waite Park have nearly tripled because of some of the needed expenses that we've had. So I just want to assure you that from our perspective, we are committed to making sure that that we are paying attention to the water quality. There are other issues, though, with the NELAP certification that we do have some concerns with. One of them happens to be the amount of time that it takes for our staff to be able to address these issues with the NELAP certification process. It's about 20 to 30% more of our staff time. Our wastewater treatment plant is actually staffed by the city of St. Cloud. And in the city of St. Cloud, there's currently a hiring freeze. So what this has done is this hasn't been able to allow us to add staff to be able to address those problems, but much rather just allow them to have to transfer some of their responsibilities from some of the testing that they would do in-house, which is vital to the operation of our overall plant, to having to go through the certifications. The actual regulations are over 300 pages long, and from our staff's perspective, they have said that there's about 87 pages of those that are actually regulations that we need to comply with. Some of the other staffing concerns that we have with that is that there are some that have been able to be grandfathered in if they've worked on some of these testings before, but any new employees that we hire are required to go through or have a four-year degree. In previous years, that's not been the case. It's only been through certifications that they've needed, and no degree requirement has been in place. So those are some of the additional concerns that we have. The length of the testing is much longer as well for us to wait for results that are vital for our plant operation, and thus adding additional time and cost. The city of St. Cloud has had to go ahead and do some contract work to be able to meet all of the requirements that are in place, and as a result of that, it has increased our cost overall. So I think, you know, we feel that this is maybe more of a one-size-fits-all approach. Whether you're the St. Cloud Regional Wastewater Treatment Facility or if you're a small community like the city of Melrose operating their own wastewater treatment plant facility, everybody is impacted by that. These same requirements and regulations are also in place for them, and many of those types of operations are much smaller in size and capacity than what we are, thus placing additional burdens on them as well. Another thing that our staff has indicated to us is that the actual testing that is done, it is a very precise measurement, and in the end, the same number that was reported on the previous test is the same. So even though the results may be, or the testing is more precise, it isn't needed for what they're actually measuring and looking for this. It has also been brought to my attention that none of these regulations really address water quality at all. We've made many of those improvements, like I mentioned before. This is more of an administrative process, taking substantially much more time. Just to give you an example, I had mentioned earlier that you had 300 pages of regulations. Prior to this, there was about, there was only about 10 pages of regulations that were required to be compliant with. So it's much more of a burdensome process. So with that, I will take any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Ms. Johnson, just early in your testimony, you said that you're going through a process of doing an upgrade to your wastewater treatment facility, and you mentioned that due to compliance with new regulations and that the water costs have tripled. Is that the cost to your consumers? And what were the things that were driving the tripling of the costs? Is it partly these regulations?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, what I was referring to before is the St. Cloud Wastewater Treatment Plant. It's a rehab and expansion of our existing plant. These regulations are not a direct cost, and as a result of that, as far as the example that I gave of tripling the rates, and that's our sewer rates that I'm referring to, actually is what's occurring in Waite Park as a result of that expansion in the rehab. The rehab itself is actually making some modifications, and part of that is for some compliance with regulations. It's an older facility that has needed some upgrading. It is also a part of an expansion to ensure that we are addressing any future capacity that will be needed in the area.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Brugman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So under this bill, the 10 things that you used to have to be in compliance with, will you have to be in compliance with those?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Berglund, I can address that, and we can allow others as well. Currently, and I think you'll hear from the Department of Health, they're going to come up next and talk a little bit about that. They have committed to try and get together with the folks we've been talking to about this and address their concerns relating to that. It was our understanding that by repealing these rules, it would just go back to what they were doing before. There are some Department of Health rules that were passed in 2006. I think they're taking the stand, and they can address that those are being repealed. So right now the Department of Health is committed to work with the folks that brought up this issue as well as our office to try and address the things that are costing our municipalities more money, and I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to address those. We have a conference call we're trying to arrange later this week that would have the specific public utility staff that brought this issue to our office and try and work through those. But right now, if we were to repeal these, our understanding it would go back to the 2006 rules, and the Department of Health takes issue with that. We could easily fix that. Our hope is that this bill goes to the Finance Committee next, and if we're not able to come to an agreement, I think it's probably fair to say, we'd probably put those 2006 rules into the bill specifically. So,
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair and Senator Peterson, what rule? What are you repealing? I was kind of tuned out for a second, and then I caught that. And
yep.
Would you go over that again?
In our summary statement, we have some national standards that were just passed in the last couple years that are really enforced by a 501c3 corporation. It's not a government agency at all. It's actually a nonprofit organization that It consists of a lot of private laboratories, for-profit labs. In fact, it's interesting to note I got a phone call this morning from a lab in Tennessee, a for-profit lab that does a lot of work in Minnesota, and they're opposed to this because they're set to probably lose some business. But these NELAC rules are really a voluntary process. There's just 14 states that have voluntarily jumped into this program, and Minnesota is one of them. And what we're hoping to do with this bill, Senator Higgins, is just to repeal those. And our intent was to allow our wastewater treatment plants to operate under the previous rules that were passed in 2006. But hopefully I was clear in relating to Senator Berglund's question. There's some dispute over whether those are being repealed and when they're being repealed. And what this bill does is just allow municipal labs that are owned by cities, that are operated by public utility directors, are responsible to city councils and mayors to control their own lab and testing through previous Minnesota Department of Health certification rules rather than these new national standards that were just passed in the last couple of years.
Senator Peterson, just to clarify, your bill is not repealing any of the statutes. It's just providing an exemption for municipal environmental laboratories. But the repeal that you're referring to, is that there's an effort to repeal the national law, or is there an effort to repeal the Minnesota adoption of these standards? But this bill is not that bill. Is that correct?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, you're correct. And I can probably let the Department of Health, they're gonna talk next a little bit about that. They probably could address that for you. There's some question if we let these municipal labs be exempt from these national standards, there's some questions as to what will be used to regulate those labs. All the public utilities directors believe they can just go right back to what they were doing before. And I think the Department of Health will tell you, well, they're in the process of repealing those 2006 rules. So that may not be the case, and that's why after the hearing in the House, which passed last week, and we met again just before this meeting, I think we're committed to try and address those concerns that the public utility directors have. But if we cannot, then I would see, as this bill moves forward to finance, potentially we would have to identify what rules they would operate under.
Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins, and then
I'm looking at the fiscal note, and it says that certification of laboratories is required under Title 40 of the federal, the Code of Federal Regulations. Therefore, without certification, municipal laboratories will be unable to perform drinking water testing, which is, I think, the point of the municipal. And will need to hire a certified laboratory to perform the required testing. This will have a fiscal impact on local governments. So I don't understand why we would let them do this. Seems to me that they're looking for funds in the wrong place. But my next question is this bill going to the Environment Committee?
Senator Higgins, my understanding is that it is going to the Environment Committee. It may have an additional stop after that. I'm not certain. But it is going to the Environment Committee.
And then it will come back here because it will be carried in your omnibus bill?
Senator Higgins, I'm not certain. It doesn't affect our budget. It's something that affects the one of the state government
budgets.
That's
the health department's budget. That's
well,
yours.
Senator Higgins, the fiscal note does not have a cost to the state health department. It has a cost.
Mr. Chair, it saves you money. I think you want it. Well, oh, no, it comes out of zero. I'm looking at the full-time
right.
equivalent.
It's the state government special revenue fund. So I'm not sure that it would end up here permanently, but it will go to another committee. Did you have another?
Thanks.
I don't know if Senator Peterson, did you have any response to, or Ms. Wafel, to the point that Senator Higgins is raising?
Yeah. Yes, thanks, Chair. Senator Higgins, The labs are not. I'll start off by saying it actually applies to both water, drinking water, and to wastewater treatment facilities.
Right.
And the goal is not to go back to a system where there's no certification. That the labs still want a certification process. However, the NELAP process that was put in place in 2009 has been found by many to be too burdensome. So the question that arises is, if we exempt them from the NELAP requirements, how can they be certified? And that's what we're trying to work out with the Department of Health, is ensuring that it either goes back to the previous certification process, or we would have to amend the language just to make sure that there still is some kind of certification process in place. It's that they still want to be able to get certified, but they have found that this one-size-fits-all approach with NELAP is too burdensome. But we still want to keep and it might be just defaulting back to the previous regulations. So some of that is still in process, but there certainly is no one wants to be in a situation where they can't get certified.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Ms. Weifel, is NELAP the only organization that certifies at this point?
Ms. Weifel.
Department of Health will be able to better explain this, but NELAP is only actually used by 14 states. And even in some of those states that have that, they have a second tier where the state actually administers their own certification process. So there are other ways in which a certification or approval process can be done that would meet both the requirements that are needed of the state as well as the federal regulations.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Peterson, is it being proposed that by the Department of Health that they want to adopt these NELAP standards and the municipalities do not want to comply with them? Is that the essence of the problem?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Newman, the situation is, we have testimony in your packet there from a gentleman named Scott Gilbertson. He's the wastewater treatment supervisor in the city of Melrose. And interestingly enough, he actually served on the committee. This went through a whole rules-making process that involved the Department of Health and many people. And I think the reason why I'm back here presenting this is that the public utilities directors were not happy with the results of that rules-making process. I think, as we hear about from time to time, and my sense is that maybe this was one of those unintended consequences. However, I'm not sure the Department of Health would agree with that. I think they were moving in this direction for reasons they can identify. But the situation is there is that once they've gotten into this, it clearly has cost the municipalities and cities a significant amount more money, and I think that's why they'd like to repeal that. Did that answer your question, or I might have to have you repeat it again?
Senator Newman?
I'll wait until the Department of Health comes up. How's that sound?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Peterson, just a suggestion. If I were you, I'd put in the bill what you want them to be enforcing, because otherwise they're going to have to go through rulemaking again to get back to where they were in 2006. And that rulemaking process takes quite a bit of time, so there would be a delay. And it also costs money to do rulemaking. And so if you can put it in your bill, then you would not end up with a fiscal note showing the rulemaking costs.
Mr. Chair and members, I think that's the goal of our upcoming conference call. Like I said, if there's some dispute right now, even with the Department of Health, whether those rules have been repealed, they're not sure and we're not sure unless they tell us differently today. But the last we heard, they were not sure, and I appreciate that advice, and we'll certainly take it. Thank you.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, Senator Peterson also has another bill going through that would put a moratorium on all rulemaking for 2 years, so he might get this bill caught up in that
time.
Bill.
So. Definitely take a long time then.
It could. Senator Peterson, did you have?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. I can assure Senator Higgins there's no foul play intended in regard to that. The situation that we're there, we are in the process, if I can relate to that, we are in the process of identifying certain rules from five different state agencies that deal with water. We've asked them to give us the rules that that they feel need to move forward. Actually, the bill Senator Higgins mentioned would allow existing rulemaking to continue. It would just allow no more rules to start until we figure out a way to streamline the water inspections that are done from five different state agencies. Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Peterson, I don't remember that that's what your bill did, because it said, I think the language you used was the rules cannot be adopted, and the adoption is the last part of the process. So I think your other bill is actually backwards from what you said it is.
Well, Senator Higgins, I'm not sure we're taking up that bill. Is that in this committee, Senator Peterson? I don't know that it is, but if it does, we'll fully vet that point. But there are some other people that have indicated they'd like to testify, and I think it might be good to hear from someone from the Department of Health if they are here as well. So perhaps if we could hear from the people we have on our list to testify, and then if there are people from the Department of Health, we'll invite them to come up. These are folks from the Minnesota Valley Testing Laboratories. Please come to the table. Welcome to the committee. Please identify yourselves for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jerry Balbach, and I'm the president of Minnesota Valley Testing Laboratories. We share some of the same concerns that you're raising today, and hopefully can provide some information as to the consequences of the bill to exempt wastewater treatment labs from accreditation. The introduction of this bill, as it is written, to exempt municipal wastewater treatment laboratories from the requirement of accreditation with the Minnesota Department of Health without a plan to assure continued data quality will result in deterioration of waters in the state of Minnesota, could also jeopardize public safety. The Minnesota Department of Health Environmental Laboratory Accreditation Program was established to ensure that laboratories submit reliable and consistent data to Minnesota's various environmental programs. This accreditation includes utilizing approved methodology and quality control necessary to protect our lakes, rivers, and streams. If the testing is performed without the approved methods, a wastewater treatment plant could be discharging contaminated water without even knowing that they are doing it. With the exemption of municipal laboratories from accreditation, a safety net currently in place to assure the quality of the data would be eliminated. Removing the accreditation from the laboratories would also create an opportunity in litigation against the municipalities. Without the documented quality systems which come from the required accreditation, the data is many times not complete and not completely documented, meaning that an accurate result may be made to look wrong in the eyes of a jury. Also, the exemption of the municipal laboratories from accreditation will result in a decrease in the quality of data produced from municipal laboratories, since the accreditation program inspections serve to educate the laboratory personnel on techniques and processes. We have worked side by side with several of the communities, including those who have testified and provided information to you today. Many of these labs provide very high quality data and have great systems in place. Unfortunately, we've also seen wastewater treatment plant laboratories that do not have these quality systems in place. We would encourage the members of the committee to review audits from the Department of Health, both prior to the NELAC program and after, and it would show some of the deficiencies at these labs. Unfortunately, these problems will go unresolved if there is no accreditation program. Testimony has been presented that the exemption from the accreditation will result in a cost saving to the municipalities that have labs. This bill would be a cost savings to those if those rules were repealed, but it would add cost to those who use private laboratories. My statement is the Minnesota Department of Health Laboratory Accreditation Program is required by state law to collect enough in fees to cover their program. So if you remove the 53% of the labs that are municipal labs, those fees will be transferred to the private labs, and in turn those private labs will have to pass those costs on to their clients. Those clients are the remaining municipalities who do not have an in-house lab. So part of the savings realized by some municipalities would be transferred to others. It would also hold the testing for many municipalities to a higher standard of quality than others if they're using a private lab. We have also worked with several municipalities who have found it more cost-effective to hire a private lab rather than to operate their own lab. These municipalities have started either sending all of their testing to a private lab, or option two is they can send the testing that's required on their under their NPDES permit and operate a process control lab in-house so that they can get the results quicker. Process control labs do not fall under the current accreditation rules. This would allow the personnel at the wastewater treatment facilities to contract or to concentrate on operations rather than running a lab. While the cost of accreditation is a difficulty to already strain municipal budgets in these hard financial times, exempting municipal laboratories from the accreditation program will only shift the responsibility for verifying the data quality to another government entity. Testimony earlier was given, and it is true that the labs are required to be accredited to submit data for their NPDES permits. If they're exempt from the Department of Health rules, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency would have to step in and start a new accreditation program, and there would be costs associated with that. We completely understand the burden that these rules have placed on the municipal plants. As an example, our fees to be accredited in the state of Minnesota in 2006 were $6,000 a year. In 2011, they're $16,000 a year. And that's to say nothing about our personnel costs that have increased extra PT samples, as was stated earlier. So we know the feeling that they have. Testimony has been presented by the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities and the municipalities that they would welcome an accreditation program, just not to the level of NELAC. We agree with them on that position. Minnesota needs an accreditation program. Reworking the accreditation program so that a consistent level of data quality is provided by all labs would be best for our lakes, rivers, and streams. In conclusion, the public in Minnesota has noted their commitment to improve water quality of the surface waters in the state by the vote in favor of the Clean Water Legacy Act. A blanket exemption from certification for municipal labs would be in conflict with those goals. We would urge the authors of the bill to reword it to include an alternative accreditation program rather than a blanket exemption.
Thank you, Mr. Baalbek. Could you, for the committee, just tell us a little bit about, first of all, who is Minnesota Valley Testing Laboratories? What exactly is your interest and role in this process? You're here to testify, but it's not clear to me. You're not representing a municipality, I take it?
We are not.
And
no.
And so could you tell us just who Minnesota Valley Testing Laboratories is, and what is your position with them? Are you representing them? Is it a private company?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, the Minnesota Valley Testing Laboratories is an independent testing laboratory. We perform work for a number of communities in Minnesota, water testing and wastewater testing. That would be directly along with this bill. We are an independent company. Many of the communities that we do work with, I've spoken with some of them, and they've talked about they would not want to see an increase in their fees, which would be transferred over by us having to pay more in accreditation fees. They're concerned already with the amount of money that they're spending.
And Mr. Baalbek, are you the president?
I'm the president of Minnesota Valley Testing. Yes, sir.
And is there a financial effect to your company to the passage of this bill, potentially?
The passage of this bill, I guess the passage of the NELAC bills had a definite impact on our company, and the passage of this bill would have an impact on our company from the standpoint of the $188,000 in fees that are currently paid by the municipal laboratories would end up being transferred to the private labs because of the rule that the Department of Health's program has to say self-sufficient.
And Mr. Baalbek, when you say that, are you saying that if this bill were to pass that you would stand to get more business? Is that what your point is? Or you?
No, sir. I'm saying that it would cost us more money because of the fees being transferred over to us. We stand really no financial gain from this bill being passed.
Okay. And, you know, there's another person here, but are there any other questions for Mr. Baalbek? We have someone else here from Minnesota Valley Testing. Please identify yourself.
Actually, I had them along for support if I couldn't handle some of the technical questions.
Okay. So do you have any further testimony to offer? Or?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions for the witnesses? Thank you for your being here this this afternoon. I would like to ask if there's anybody from the Department of Health here that would like to comment on the bill and some of the questions that have been raised by members of the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is John Stein, Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Health, responsible for the laboratory accreditation program, among others. And I appreciate the opportunity to respond to the testimony that's been provided and answer questions that committee members might have. The little bit of history on laboratory accreditation, the rules and the timing of our rules might be a little have been somewhat off in other persons' testimonies. The rule that existed previous to the NELAP standards was the 1998 rule promulgated by the agency. We adopted the NELAP program standard into our rules in 2006. Then in they were incorporated in legislation by reference, and there were some adjustments made to the legislation to address the costs of implementing the program. The fees were annualized instead of biannual fees and so forth. The Department of Health does administer this program. It is a voluntary accreditation program. The mandatory part of the program comes from the federal or state permitting or Safe Drinking Water Act standards. So the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency that implements the Clean Water Act and establishes the permitting system for the elimination of discharges, contaminants from discharges out of wastewater plants, has a permitting system that requires laboratories to meet certain water or certain assurances and quality assurance and quality control requirements. The laboratory accreditation program fulfills that responsibility. Similarly, under the EPA's Safe Drinking Water Act requirements, laboratories that do testing under fulfilling the standards for the Safe Drinking Water Act must meet a quality assurance, quality control standard, and this program assures that standard. So the program itself is voluntary, but it helps fulfill two mandatory requirements that exist under federal law. Were the bill to be implemented, as has been testified, there wouldn't be another rule upon which to fall back. There's no rule other than the NELAP program standards that are currently in the department's rules or referenced in our state. So we have entered into conversations with the author of the bill to talk about what a second tier of standard might look like, and it likely would mean the NELAC standard minus a few things, if you will, as a possibility. As Senator Peterson mentioned, we do plan to convene conversation later this week with some of the interests that have expressed concern, small municipal laboratories and others, to hear their input and see what components of the reporting requirements and other accreditation standards are problematic. Some of those we may be able to exempt and some we may not. And so we don't know yet whether we'll be able to find agreement on the second tier standard, but we are very interested in working with Senator Peterson and with the interests that are affected to look into that. One of the things that I wanted to point out, just by way of numbers of programs and laboratories that are in our program, there are 142 laboratories in the accreditation, in the environmental lab accreditation program. Of all those labs that are accredited, 59 of the accredited labs are municipal or local government labs. Now, that's certainly a much smaller number of labs than are and systems that are operating wastewater treatment plants around the state. So some labs obviously are fulfilling their requirements under the permitting system by using private laboratories. Of the 59 laboratories that are municipal or local government operated laboratories, 45 of those labs have already been through our accreditation process and have been accredited. So 75% of those labs have met the requirements and have successfully been completed. We do understand the concerns about the new standards and the documentation requirements that go along with that. If you will, accrediting a lab is like auditing a business or a bank, for example. You're looking at the quality assurance systems that are in place that verify the records that they're maintaining to verify that they can reproduce a record that is accurate and that they have the testing methodologies to show proficiency within specific ranges of chemicals and constituents in water that need to be satisfied for water quality requirements of permits or the Safe Drinking Water Act. With that, Mr. Chair, and knowing that there were other questions, I think I'll end. We have agreed with Senator Peterson to try to work on exploring a second-tier system in our state that might address some of the concerns. We don't know yet whether that will lead to a fruitful end, but we are committed to working with the senator in that regard.
Thank you, Assistant Commissioner. I just wanted to clarify, as the bill, as it is written before us, is the department's position then in opposition to this bill?
Mr. Chair, the department has no position on the bill.
Have no position. And Assistant Commissioner, are you... you indicated that you've had some conversations about trying to develop some of the things. I think Senator Berglund and Senator Higgins have both raised the issue of what happens if there are no rules or other kinds of regimens to follow if they're exempted from this. And then the potential, I guess, cost to the department of developing additional rules if additional rulemaking is necessary. It might be, Senator Berglund's point, cheaper to put into statute rather than do rulemaking. Is the department open to having things put into statute that would clarify what would happen in the case of being the exemption? Is that something the department is open to?
Mr. Chair, yes.
And are you – you indicated some hesitation about whether or not that this language was going to be accomplished. Is there a reason why you have hesitation or just unclear about the timing?
Mr. Chair, I think the concerns that we're aware can be more fully satisfied would be those related to wastewater. The Safe Drinking Water Act requirements are more specific in terms of the constituents that a lab must show proficiency in testing and results. I also, just from a practical standpoint, the acute risk of disease and public health concerns would be more significant associated with drinking water system testing assurance. It's about assurance of testing quality in this program. Not to diminish the significance of environmental benefits and ecological benefits that come from wastewater treatment system testing, the results of deficiencies in compliance with the standards on wastewater would be perhaps less acute to public health, would be more chronic to the system of our waterways and lakes in the state. So my main interest in the Department of Health, we are the state, the agency under EPA's primacy for the Safe Drinking Water Act. So I'm more reticent about being able to meet the municipality's expectations relative to the Safe Drinking Water Act testing.
Other several questions. Start with Senator Newman and then Senator Berglund and Senator Marty. Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any questions. I'm just going to make a statement. I've listened to the testimony very carefully. I've looked at the statutes. And I will tell you, members, that it would be my intention to vote against this bill, and I'm going to do it for the following reasons. The proposed bill is proposing to exempt municipalities both from testing their own water treatment plants and for other municipalities that they do testing for. So it's not just a single municipality that we're dealing with. It's for whoever else they would do their testing for. And the statute that we are exempting them from deals with what would appear to me to be public safety issues and environmental issues, because we're talking about testing for a clean water program, safe drinking water program, monitoring solid wastes and hazardous wastes, groundwater, underground storage tank programs and clean air programs. So it's really quite a lot of environmental concerns and public safety concerns that we are proposing to exempt municipalities from complying with. And in listening to the testimony, this is what I'm hearing, is that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and the Department of Health are in the process of making new rules or recertifying rules that municipalities don't want to comply with. And the cost of this certification program is something that is significant. As I heard the Minnesota Valley Testing Program, I think I heard him say, well, they pay $6,000 just to be certified, and the reason for it is because of all the different categories that they get certified in, and the base just to get started is $1,500, and it goes up from there. So I really think that what's happening here is we're being caught in a bit of a contest between the Pollution Control Agency, the Department of Health, and the municipalities. And I don't think that that's a position I want to be in. I think that they should be working this out before they come to us. Secondly, I keep hearing that we don't know what the rules are that are about to be adopted. And I'm very uncomfortable with supporting a bill where I don't know, you know, what are they ultimately going to come up with? The representative from the Department of Health, who unfortunately I've already forgotten your name, keeps saying, well, we don't know what those rules are going to be yet. The third reason why I'm not in favor of this bill is what we are really doing is we are carving out an exception to compliance with a statutory certification program. And I rarely like exemptions to statute. I think statute should apply equally to everybody. And I think that's true whether we're dealing with a private business or whether we're dealing with a municipality when we get into the area of public safety and environmental concerns. So I don't like the idea of carving out an exception that runs strictly in favor of a small group such as local municipalities. And the final thing that I don't like about it, the fourth thing is that we are directly impacting private business. We've had at least one private concern come in and testify that this is what they do for a living. They hire people, they pay taxes, and now all of a sudden we're going to exempt out a municipality, and now all of a sudden the government is now going to begin picking winners and losers. And I just philosophically don't agree with it. So for those four reasons, at this stage of the proceedings, I will not support this bill.
I don't know if Senator Peterson have any comment at this point. We've got a couple other questions, maybe Senator Berglund and then Senator Hardy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Assistant Commissioner, if this bill were to change to be a second tier of regulation, would the fiscal note change?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, it's conceivable, yes, that it would. It would depend upon what the carve-out of our NELAP requirements would look like. It conceivably could be less rigorous in terms of the fees that might apply, but we'd have to see what the actual standards that the labs mm-hmm. would be required to satisfy, and then we would run those numbers. And so it's conceivable, yes, that the fiscal note could change.
So, Mr. Chairman, my comment then is that I think it's the purview of this committee to see the changes to this bill and to see the revised fiscal note. If this bill goes out of here today, I believe it should come back.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Stein, perhaps. I agree with Senator Newman and others that these labs have to meet some sort of standards. Just reading the note, the testimony from the Director of Public Works in Mankato, in which she talks about how their two-person lab would be able to be one and a half time. In other words, they have a half-time person year-round, apparently, at a cost the half time of that person's salary and benefits is $50,000 a year for half-time, just to meet these standards. And when she gives an example of she says, take the autoclave for instance. We have a recording autoclave used for sterilization of glassware used in bacterial analysis that monitors runtime, temperature, and pressure. The new requirements are that we hire an independent company to travel to Mankato to verify it reaches the required time, temperature, and pressure. And even though we have a printout which records this minute by minute, we have to sit with a stopwatch quarterly and time it to make sure this recorder is correct. Then we have to cut the tape off, et cetera, make a copy of it, and so on. All this for a fecal coliform test where we're allowed to discharge water that contains 200 colonies per 100 milliliters. It seems to me that this, all that testing to make sure the machine works and sterilizes it in the proper temperature for something that's where they're allowed to have, I mean, I don't know how big 200 colonies are per 100 milliliters, but that sounds like a fairly significant amount of contamination in there. I assume when you're talking a second tier, you're saying, look, we got to make sure equipment works, but maybe this is way out of proportion to what they need. Is that a fair statement, that the proportionality is out of whack?
Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, the microbiological sampling requirements and verification of equipment would be something that we could look at addressing in a second tier of a standard, yes.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Stein, is this typical what Mankato is saying, a two-person lab? Because they're saying one of the people in the lab could be doing a lot more of other things to help reduce the contamination going into the wastewater plant and so on. Is one quarter of their entire staff just to meet the compliance with the quality of the equipment? Do you sense that that's out of whack? Is that one of the reasons you're looking at second tier?
Commissioner Stein.
Mr. Chair and Senator Marty, any individual labs, we've gotten varied results as we've gone out to accredit laboratories. It will depend greatly on their systems and on their equipment and on their operations. So that a lab such as that may have a piece of equipment that, in order to meet the requirements for verification of the standards, there might be that level of verification required. There might be other equipment. There might be other methods that could fulfill the same standard. We work with laboratories to give them the smoothest path through fulfilling the requirements. Now, what we have heard, and I've heard this from my own staff, that the upfront costs of going to verification and quality assurance in terms of documenting and having systems in place to verify results, those are upfront costs. Once you've invested in either a database or your record-keeping systems, you kind of implemented a new approach to business, and they're out of the woods, so to speak, on those increased costs. We've got ranges of increased costs and some that would say there were virtually no increased costs as a result of complying with the standards. So we've had differing conversations with local municipal laboratories, but exactly the point you read from that letter is the sort of thing we would want to hear directly from laboratories that we may be able to accommodate in a second tier of standard.
Mr. Chairman, just a comment that I think that the bill is raising a good issue, but I think it might be overkill at this time, and I hope the department and the labs and everyone can work out some more reasonable regulation.
Not seeing any other questions. Senator Peterson, taking from what I'm hearing voiced around the table, I'm a little reluctant to let the bill go, at least permanently. It seems as if there are some issues that need to be resolved, particularly if they involve health department compliance to some change in regimen that may entail some cost. If that were to happen, we'd want to see that bill. So I guess I'm going to ask you what your preference is. My choice would be we could either lay the bill over here and you can work with the Department of Health to try to resolve these issues, then we'll take it up and pass it out. Or if you want to continue the bill, I'm all right doing that. We could let the bill go without recommendation on condition that we come back with it after there has been some resolution to the issues with respect to the health department. Any thoughts on that, Senator Peterson?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yeah, I think we'd prefer to keep it moving forward to finance. You know, having served on a city council myself, this issue was raised by a public utilities director who answers to the mayor and the city council. And most public utility directors are confident that they're going to provide clean drinking water you know, when there's an issue with wastewater or drinking water, they call the person that they get the bill from, and that's the city. And I think it depends on your position and where you think the Department of Health lies in that situation. Like I said, that was an area of dispute. You know, each of these cities has their own city attorney that may or have looked at this issue, may have not, and I think what we committed to do later this week is try to identify what would happen if this these rules were to be exempt. And like I said, that's in dispute based on the city of St. Cloud, for example, that feels pretty confident that they'd be able to move forward and take a position that they're going to continue to provide those clean drinking water standards as they were doing before these regulations were passed. And he's going to be involved in that meeting later this week, along with others in the Department of Health, and we'll see what we can do there. But I would prefer to make a motion. Yeah, to move Senate file. This is here 162 onto environment.
And Senator Peterson, I was going to. I think that before it ends up in finance, it would have to go to environment.
Yep.
And my thought would be, I don't know if it has any other committees after that, other than finance, that would need to go to. But perhaps, in the interest of allowing this work to continue, that we could allow it to go to environment with the understanding that it would come back here for review after whatever changes get agreed to or put into the bill between now and then, if that's okay with you.
Sure, Mr. Chair, that'd be great.
Then I guess so to entertain a motion, Senator Hoffman, would you move this bill to Senate File 162 to the Environment Committee without recommendation? I'm sorry, Senator Newman.
And the bill will be coming back here, correct?
Yes, Senator Newman and Senator Peterson, I would expect that because this apparently is going to involve some involvement with the health department and some understanding of where they're going to be in this whole process, what kind of structure we're going to have in place, I would prefer that it make a stop back here, regardless of whether there will be financial cost to it. So I'm going to ask the Environment Committee to refer it back here when they are done, give you some time to continue to work on the bill. And that would be my understanding, Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is the motion understood that it would be referred without recommendation to the Environment Committee? Mm-hmm. Senator Hoffman makes that motion.
Yes, I would move the bill to Environment.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Senator Peterson and others, for your presentation here. And members, we do not have anything else on our agenda, but we are going to meet on Friday. I believe we're going to try to meet early on Friday so that we can allow people to get back to their district. So we're planning to meet at 8:30 a.m. So, and we'll update further as we go along. We're trying to get through the presentations by the Department of Human Services and Department of Health. So that's the plan for the rest of the week at this point. We are meeting tomorrow and Wednesday. I just wanted to note that we are also meeting at least, and unless we don't finish our work, if we get things done tomorrow and Wednesday, then we may not have to meet on Friday, but I think we may need Friday. So I'm just putting people on alert that just for planning purposes, perhaps be prepared. Meeting is adjourned.